money.
What about me? I'm broke. Get back.
We can work this out.
Hey, leave us alone.
Gentlemen, please.
And I need him to take me to see the lanterns because I've been dreaming about them my entire life. Find your humanity. Haven't any of you ever had a dream?
I had a dream once.
Malicious, mean, and scary. My sneer could curdle dairy. And violence-wise, my hands are not the cleanest. But despite my evil look and my temper and my hook, I've always yearned to be a concert pianist. Can't you see me on the stage performing Mozart? Tickling the ivories till they gleam. Yes, I'd rather be called deadly for my killer show tune medley. Thank you. Cause way down deep inside I've got a dream.
He's got a dream. He's got a dream.
See, I ain't as cruel and vicious as I seem. Though I do like breaking femurs, you can trap me with the dreamers. Like everybody else, I've got a dream.
I've got scars and lumps and bruises, plus something here that oozes. And let's not even mention my complexion. But despite my expert toes and my goiter and my nose, I really want to make a love connection. Can't you see me with the special little lady rowing in a rowboat down the stream? Though I'm one disgusting blighter, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Cause way down deep inside, I've got a dream. I've got a dream.
He's got a dream.
I've got a dream.
He's got a dream.
And I know one day romance will reign supreme. Though my face leaves people screaming, there's a child behind it dreaming. Like everybody else, I've got a dream.
Call it luck to quit and be a florist.
Gunter does interior design.
Ulf is into mime.
Attila's cupcakes are sublime.
Bruiser knits killer souls.
Dangan's little puppet shows.
And Vladimir collects ceramic unicorns.
What about you?
I'm sorry, me?
What's your dream?
No. Sorry, boys. I don't sing.
I have dreams like you. No, really. Just much less touchy-feely. They mainly happen somewhere warm and sunny. On an island that I own. Standing rested and alone. Surrounded by enormous piles of money.
I've got a dream.
She's got a dream.
I've got a dream.
She's got a dream.
I just want to see the floating lanterns gleam. Like all you lovely folks, I've got a dream.
She's got a dream.
He's got a dream.
They got a dream. We've got a dream. So our few princes, they freely vanish. Dream. We're only kids.
Call us brutal.
Sadistic.
And grotesquely optimistic.
Cause way down deep inside, we've got a dream.
I've got a dream.
I've got a dream.
Yes, we down deep.
I've got a dream. I've got a dream that everybody's going to be opening their Bibles this morning. And if you do not have a Bible or you forgot to bring your Bible, there are Bibles in the chairs in front of you. You can, however, go ahead and click the QR code on one of these screens. And when you do that, it's magically going to transport you to some other place online where all the scripture passages for today will be there for you to go ahead and walk through the message as we go through this. Also, there's a place there for you to take notes, and you can follow along, and you can come back and review and go back to the message. And I want to encourage you to do that Make sure you're going back through the message each week and seeing what God wants to say to you, maybe on Tuesday and Thursday, and maybe not just on Sunday. And of course, don't take anything I say just because JR says it. Make sure you're getting into God's Word for yourself. Well, everybody has a dream, a desire that has been planted in them from God. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you haven't experienced that. Maybe you're like, yeah, JR, I don't have time for dreams. I got too much stuff to do. And that's kind of the problem, right? We got too much stuff to do. I feel like sometimes we even just make up stuff just to do stuff, right? But God has placed, and we're going to talk about this and share this in Scripture, but God has placed a desire in each one of us. He's placed something in us. He created us and designed us specifically for a specific reason, a specific purpose, and He wants to use us for His kingdom. He wants to use us for His glory. But sometimes along the way, maybe we've gotten too distracted to notice. Or maybe things have happened in your life, and if we're being honest, it's not that you're too distracted, it's just that you've been too damaged by life to notice. Another really big thing that can happen to us, and it's really, despite what the world says, it's really one of the worst things that can happen to us, is that we can become too successful in the wrong things. Got a great job, got a great business, my family's fallen by the wayside. I'm so busy, I don't know how I can even try to go to a Bible study or to study God's Word. See, the world tells us to do, and we can get so focused sometimes and become very successful in the wrong things, and we miss out on kingdom things, on what God really wants to do with us and through us in our lives. And I think God wants to do something great with each one of us. He wants to do something great with this church. God never told us to live small, safe, or stagnant lives. He calls us to something bigger, to something eternal. And He tells us in the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Can we turn me down just a little bit? I'm very echoey up here. He tells us to do that. He's told each one of us who are believers to do that. And for some of us, that's up here preaching. For some of us, it's up here, you know, or for some of us, it's like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Welcome to the church. For some of us, it's cooking. For some of us, it's a lot of different things. God has placed desires in our hearts to be used for Him. And too often we look at the church and we think the pastor, the elders, the worship team, the other ministry leaders, they're the ones that are here to do stuff. But no, God has something great for each one of us. And He can use each one of us in amazing ways if we are open to what He wants to do. So this morning, I want us to start to dream again, or maybe even for the first time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time this morning in your house. Great worship, great time together. And I just pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to us, that you'd speak to each one of our hearts, exactly what we need to hear right now, Lord. And may you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. This is kind of like the passage for today, I guess, if you will. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Maybe you think that great things are meant for great people. God doesn't have anything for me. He doesn't have any plans or purposes for me. But you know, we were all created by God. We were all designed by God. You know, Scripture says that we are the clay and he is the potter. But I don't think he just took the clay and went, boom, and then there you are, you know. No, I think he really formed it. He formed each one of us. He formed you specifically how you are for a reason, for a purpose greater than ourselves. And at our hearts, whether we know it or not, maybe life has hit us, but we are all creators. Again, we have been created in the image of God. And that is one of the signifying differences between us and the rest of the animals, you know, the animals' kingdom, is that we were created in God's image. And that doesn't mean we all look like him. It means that we have his attributes. And one of his greatest attributes is he is a creator. He is a designer. And even as little children, we all had these things in our heads, these things in our minds. I mean, again, unless the world came in and we got abused or something horrible happened to us, every one of us, and even if that did happen to you, there's something inside of you. Even if you were someone who was abused or treated horribly, there's something inside of you that yearned for something more. And just like I talked about with Nate singing, over time, that singing becomes softer and softer until, before we know it, we're no longer singing those songs because we have allowed the world to get in there. So this morning and then next week, I really want to talk about us beginning to dream again and to dream big dreams, to dream great dreams, but not just for ourselves, but for God and for His kingdom. You see, God places purposeful desire in you. He has placed desires in all of us, but he has placed purposeful desires in you. I mentioned before I wanted to be an actor when I was younger. That was a desire. But he placed that in my heart for a purpose, for his kingdom. In Philippians 2:13, we read, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Sometimes we can't hear what God is saying to us because of all the noise around us. And we have to take some time to really listen for him. You know, I didn't wake up one day and decide that I wanted to preach. As I told you, I wanted to be an actor. God changed what I loved, and he changes. And when he changes what you love, he changes where you go and who you become. You see, God shapes your desires as you follow him. At first, it was all about JR and swimming pool, spelling my name, and being rich and famous, like insanely, like filthy rich and famous. And that's what I wanted. And I wanted to make everybody laugh and forget their problems and enjoy life. And then God started to work in me as I started to surrender that to him. I remember the day I said, "Lord, you've given me these gifts and these desires. Why did you give these to me? How can you use those for your purposes, for your kingdom, for your glory?" And as I began to walk with him and began to follow him, he started to place my steps. He started to put me where he wanted me to be. The Bible says that we plan our plans in our heart, but God is the one who directs our steps. And so often we have these great plans or we have these great desires, and then we try to plan it all out and we try to plan our steps out. But once we start to trust in God, then he starts to work it out because godly dreams align with his purpose. They point toward impact, not just comfort. You know, if you ask any American who's working, hardworking American, and you talk about their job, and you talk about the future, The greatest thing that we're typically thinking about is our retirement. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? But God has designed us for His kingdom, for His purposes, for His glory. And as we submit to Him and surrender those things, then our dreams will begin to align with His purpose. I remember back in Midland, many, many years ago, there was an elder who said to me that he couldn't wait to retire so that he could really, truly start to serve God. And I said, why do you have to wait until you retire to serve God? Again, it goes back to what we said at the beginning, is that one of the worst things that can happen to us is that we can become successful in the wrong things. And he was successful in a lot of different areas, but in that area he was still wrestling. He was still struggling. He said, I want to serve God, and I know that God gave me these gifts, but I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy. And I would hate to die one day and be standing before Jesus and Him say, hey, I gave you all these gifts. I planted this desire in your heart. What happened? And you're like, well, I was just too busy, Lord. I'm too busy for you. I know that that can even happen to me as a pastor. I can get caught up in being too busy. Be like, well, I'm doing God's work. Yeah, I'm doing God's work. But sometimes I can be so busy. Again, you think, well, how can a pastor be busy and be successful in the church and be a failure? Carrie will tell you, this ministry here is the first time in my entire ministry that I have taken a day off other than Saturday. And I've done that pretty much since I've gotten here. Even ministers can get caught up and focus so much on the wrong things in the wrong way that their family starts to fall away. So as we surrender to Him, as we get closer to Him and His purposes, as we say, Lord, okay, so this is what I'm doing. What do you want me to do with it? How can I use it for you? He will start to align our steps with Him. And as He does that, He will start to use it for His glory and for His purposes and impact. So one of the things that you can start to do is you can start spending time with God this week and just ask Him that one question. Lord, You created this. Whoa. What do You want me to do with this? How can You use me for Your kingdom? And I would say this too. Sometimes we can be so busy in the church, again, like I was. Maybe we take some time and say, Lord, I'm doing all this. Is this what You want me to do? Or is there some other way or some other thing that You want me to do to have a greater impact for You? Now I'm going to be honest with you. Godly dreams require courageous faith. They require courageous faith. When I was born and raised in Maryland, and one year we went to Maryland and I worked with my dad for a year. Sorry about that some other time. I worked with him for a year and we went to Mountain Christian Church in Joppa, Maryland. They had about 3,000 people. They have like over 8,000 or 10,000 now in multiple campuses. But when I got there, one of the guys invited me to the men's Bible study. And he owned a pizza joint in town. And he gave me a coupon to come in and get a free pizza, and I went there and stuff. But he was doing a lot of stuff with the men's group. And they said to him, hey, we want you to come on staff and run our men's program. That took a huge sacrifice for him. He had to sell his pizza place. But he actually said, you know, the kingdom work is more important. I would rather feed people's souls than their bellies. So he sold his pizza place, took a smaller salary, and went to work for the Lord. Dreaming is easy. Walking it out takes faith. And 2 Corinthians says, we live by faith, not by sight. But how many times do we reverse that? How many times do we say, once I see, then I will take the step? Once God has lined everything out in a row, then I will take those steps. But that's not what He's called us to do. If He has put a vision or a dream in your heart, if He's put a vision and dream in the heart of this church as we start to move forward, and we know, and we've validated, and we've gone to Scripture, and we've talked, and God is clearly calling us to do something, do you know it would literally be sinful to not do it? And I'm going to share something with you now. Just hit me. You know, whenever I do these types of these messages, my wife will get home and she'll be like, okay, so when are we going to do this? This. I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? I'm like, that was for them, not for me. But I got to confess this. I firmly believe that this is a sin on my part. We have a marriage. We have a marriage ministry that we do online on the side a little bit. And I've written some different books or whatever. But I have felt in my heart from early on that God wanted me to write a book called Once Upon a Marriage about our marriage. And I have asked every church that I have served to hold me accountable. And no one has really done that, so that's probably why I haven't done it. But I feel convicted that I'm supposed to be writing this book, that God has told me to do that. And I'm not doing it. That's sin. That's sin. So I give you permission to ask me about it. Not like everybody at the same time next week, you know. Why do you got that huge line? Oh, yeah. But I encourage you to do that. But that takes some courage, right? And I think the reason is because I feel like this is going to be a huge thing for marriages in the world and in the church world specifically. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know if I'm afraid it's not going to be good enough. I'm afraid it's not going to meet my expectations. But it's not about me. It's about Him. It's about what He's calling me to do. And if He's calling you to do something, just taking that first step. Maybe for me, it's taking a first step to say, okay, let me put it on the calendar that this day I'm going to just start writing out an outline for the book. And just start there. You know, Zig Ziglar says, here's the principle. He's my favorite motivational speaker, godly man. He says, you go as far as you can see, and when you get there, you'll always be able to see further. So you just start taking the steps that God is calling you to take. And when you get there, He will reveal the next steps. But faith requires movement. It requires movement. When Jesus was walking on water, and He told Peter to come out to Him, Peter had to take that step. He had to take a step out of the boat onto the water in order to do the impossible. Was fear present? Does anybody remember what happened once Peter got out on the water? He did great for a moment or two, and then he started looking around at everything around him, and he started to sink. And when he turned his eyes back on Jesus, fear is always present, but perfect love, Jesus' perfect love, drives out fear. And if we trust in Him and we walk with Him, He will see us through. And then here's the last part that we kind of said in the beginning, is that godly dreams are for kingdom impact. They're for kingdom impact. There's so many people I know who are very successful and doing a great job in whatever they're doing, but they had other dreams early on. Maybe it was to serve the church, or maybe it was to do something else. And now this is what they're doing, and they're like, well, this is my lot. This is what it is. But there's something inside that God's saying, I want to use you for some God to impact my kingdom. We have a very dear friend and sister in Christ, Sharon Fenimore from New York on Long Island. She's a realtor. And she has told us time and time again that That is not her job. That is her ministry. Now, if you know anything about real estate, if you know anything about real estate in New York, on Long Island, you know you got to be very careful in the things that you say and how you do things. But she has still had such an impact on people's lives, such a huge ministry impact for the kingdom. She uses her job to be able to reach others. And then she uses her money to be able to reinvest in the church and to be able to add more kingdom impact. So maybe that's something that we all do as we look and say, Lord, how can you use me where I am? Maybe it's not, I'm going to quit my pizza job and go join the church, right? But Lord, you want to use me. And you know, when I wanted to be an actor, I didn't just say, well, I'm just going to do this or do that. Oh, I did, and it kept failing. I said to the Lord, Lord, show me. Show me what you want me to do. Not in a like a demanding way, but really saying, Lord, you've given this to me. Show me. How do you want me to use it? And I challenge everyone this week to look at your life right now and say, Lord, how do you want to use me right now? Maybe in a way that I'm not even expecting or experiencing right now. And again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think, there, JR, there is no way I can add another thing to my schedule. There's not a single thing I can do. Or you think, JR, I got no money. I got no friends. I don't even like myself. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter because God is bigger than that. He is bigger than us. So wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with, take some time this week and just say, Lord, how would you like to use me? How can you use me this week? And I want you to know He will answer that prayer. He will speak to you. Ask Him, reveal yourself to me. Show me your purposes. And again, it doesn't mean we're going to have like this, woo, you know, this beautiful printout. But it might just be the next step, the very next step that He wants us to do. Our dreams and why we are here is not just about us. When we surrendered our life to Jesus, it wasn't to get the get out of hell free card. It was to say, Lord, I'm surrendering myself to you. It's about you. And He says this, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When we do that, our dreams reach people we cannot see yet. Our marriage ministry has reached a lot of people. Not just outside in the separate ministry, but just even within the church, the couples we've counseled, the couples we've come alongside, the families we've impacted. And that's a really small part. How much more would God like to do if I surrendered myself in writing this book, if I surrendered myself more fully in that way? But as we do that, our dreams, our visions, our purpose will reach people that we haven't even seen yet. And you might think, yeah, I don't think so, JR. And that's what I would have said when I was 22 years old, sitting under the kitchen table, crying my eyes out while a plate of spaghetti was sliding down the wall after another fight. I would have never, ever thought that God could use that for anything or anyone. But God has used that to show others that they're not alone, to show them the power of God, to show them what He can do in a life that is surrendered to Him. The other thing it does is our obedience points others to God. Our obedience points others to God. I don't know if I've shared this part with you or not. I may have. But I mean, after I gave my life to Jesus and Carrie gave her life to Jesus, did I mention that we were separated three times? We were in our third separation. She was in Michigan. I was in Baltimore. And God said, you need to go back to Michigan and you need to heal it. You left. You need to get back there. And I'm like, but Lord, I just started a new job here. Got a long-term career with MCI. I got a new church. My family's here. We went and lived in Michigan. I think Carrie should come here. And he said, no, you need to go there. Like now. Wow, talking about courage, courageous, fearless. I quit my job. That week, I took my last paycheck. I drove 10 hours straight to Michigan. And when I got there, I had no place to live, no job, and no friends, and a whole lot of enemies. Carrie's parents said I would never darken their doorstep again. Since then, that relationship is amazing. But I got there, and I went to a hotel, and I stayed on my knees in prayer for 2 days in the hotel. And after 2 days, I got a call, and I had a place to live. In fact, when I drove into Michigan, I drove to Manpower, put in a quick resume, a quick application, and then I drove to an apartment complex, and I said, do you guys have any apartments? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, I don't have a job. I don't have any money. And they said, that's great. We're running a special for people who have no jobs and no money. I'm like, awesome. So they called me 2 days later. Gave me an apartment before I even had a job. The next day, that Friday, this is how old I am, my landline was put in. And I get a phone call from Manpower offering me a job. I want you to know none of that was me. I mean, I listened to God. I went. I did what he told me to do. I remember my dad. He must have thought I was completely insane. You're driving. You're going to Michigan. What are you going to do there? I don't know. Where are you going to stay? I don't know. How much money you got? Just this paycheck they just gave me. I don't know. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this is pretty insane, right? But I knew that God was calling me to step out. Now, I'm not saying for anybody here to start quitting your jobs and do all this stuff, you know. You know, I made sure that this is what God was calling me to do. But our obedience points others to God. As I share this with you, as I shared it with others, there's others who have things that God is telling them to do right now. And they're like, man, JR could do that. Maybe I can do this small thing. And maybe there's something that you've done in your life that you've been holding back and you haven't shared with others that would give them that as well. We use this passage for Labor Day a lot, but it's more than just your job. Whatever you do, which would be what? What would that be? Whatever, exactly. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. As we get ready to start talking about dreaming big for our church and for us individually, I want us to start shifting our dream from my dream to God's purpose. How does this help others see Jesus? So how can you start applying that this week? How can we start dreaming again? Well, first, we need to start reconnecting with God. The Bible talks about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. Anybody have any branches, broken branches in your yard or in your neighbor's yard? Maybe you threw them there. But you see broken branches in your yard, right? Have you ever seen a broken branch in your yard all of a sudden just poof, start sprouting flowers? Right? Usually you don't see that, right? You know why? Because it's not connected to the source. It's not connected to the source. And if we're not connected to the source of our power, if we're not connected to God, how are we going to accomplish anything for His purposes, for His kingdom? How are we going to be able to do anything of any substance if we're not connected to Him? So we need to connect with Him. Start today. And I'm talking about make prayer a part of your life. And I know, and we're going to do a prayer sermon message coming up in a few weeks here. But I want you to understand that prayer is not, Lord Jesus, Father God, please help me with blah, 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 blah. It's just talking to God. It's just talking to Him. Lord, help me. Help me with this. I said that before I came up here. Lord, just help me. And He has, right? I can feel a little bit of pain right in here from my sunburn. But I feel nothing now. I'll be screaming later. I feel nothing now, right? But just talking to God, you know? Maybe even as you're going home, you get home or you're driving or you're I don't know, you're getting ready for night, and you're like, Lord, I don't know what the heck JR was talking about. What is he talking about? How am I going to be? Just talking like that. Lord, what's going on with this? What do you want me to do? And just start spending that time with him as you're going throughout your day. Have an ongoing conversation with him. Do you know that's how relationships are built? Any couple, any married couple who is struggling in their marriage, it's either because they have no conversation or their conversation's right? Or that's their conversation. You have to have conversation in order to have relationship. And we need to have a conversation with God. Now, some people, that is their conversation with God. Here's something I haven't really shared with you, but here's the thing. We can always ask God questions, but we must never question God. That's the reverence part. That's the omniscience part. That's the reverence of God. We can ask him questions. Lord, show me, help me. It should be, Lord, why did you let this happen? Not, Lord, why did you let this happen to me? So start spending some time with God, being honest with him, just saying, Lord, I don't know. Just help me. Show me. Do that. So that's the first part. Second, let God renew your mind. Don't say, Lord, show me what you want me to do, and then go to Google, and then go to your favorite blogger, and go to your favorite podcast. Actually get in his word and let him speak to you. So many times we feel like a conversation is a one-way thing. But you know in your marriage, or if anyone else, if you're only the one talking all the time, and you're never listening, you're not going to have a relationship that is healthy and strong and growing. So let God renew your mind. And Romans 12 says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Old thinking kills new dreams. The Bible also says that no one puts new wine into old wineskins. We have to be renewed. Our minds have to be renewed. We have to look at things differently. Because it's what has happened in the past that has gotten us here. We have to turn around and start seeing what God wants to do. And then write it down in Habakkuk. Everybody say that with me. I just want to hear you say it. Habakkuk. Write down the vision. It says to write down the vision that the people perish without vision. And how many people are extremely successful, but they're dying inside? How many people are really successful and they're like, I just can't wait to retire so I can just take my money and go somewhere and die 2 months later? That, how many people do you know have done that? They've retired and they've died 2 months later. I want you to know they were dying well before then. Because there's no purpose, there's no vision. And if we have no future, if we have nothing that we're going for, if we're not doing great things for God, if we don't let him speak into our hearts as individuals or as a church, we will die. So many churches have died. Not, yes, there might be in bickering or there might be infighting or there might be other things. But it's mostly because there's no vision, there's no purpose, there's no dream for something greater. And then what the dream is we just got to get along instead of bringing people into the kingdom. So write it down. Write down what God is saying to you and let him speak to you. And then take one step this week. As I said, just take one step, whatever it is. Just one step of faith. And lastly, make sure that you're getting together with the body. If you are a believer in Christ, and this is your church, this is your body, this is the body that you're with, right? It's God's body, but this is the body that we align ourselves with as brothers and sisters. God has, it says in Scripture that he adds to the church and takes to the church as he sees fit because he knows what we need. And he's got every single one of you here for every single one of you here. He wants to use us to come alongside each other. And we need voices that build each other up and not break us. And too much of the world is breaking us. So make sure you're getting together with the body. Getting together here when we have things here, yes, but also spending time with the body outside of the church building. Letting God speak to us. My friends, God still has a dream for you. If he didn't, you would not be here. He still has a purpose for this church. If he didn't, we would not be here. God is still working in us. He is still calling us. Let's start dreaming again. Not small dreams, not safe dreams, but God-sized dreams. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in us. Let us take hold of that power. Let us let God truly work in our lives and in our church. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for your love and for your truth. And you have designed each one of us, and you have created us for a purpose, for a plan, for something greater than ourselves. You place this church here in this location with great aspirations for what it could be. I pray that we would surrender ourselves over to you, that we would say, Lord, show me what you want to do. Use me however you want to use me. And maybe it's just a little thing right now, but right now, I just want to take the next step in front of me. I pray that we would trust in you in doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. And hey, if the next step for you is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've never really truly done that. Maybe you've been in the church your whole life because your parents brought you to the church. But you've never actually said in public, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been trying to live life on your own terms and it's not real good. And you're like, oh man, I don't know what to do. Because you haven't really truly surrendered that over to God. That's repentance, where we turn it over to him and we say, Lord, work through that and work through my life. Or maybe you've done that, but you've never been baptized. You've never been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. You've done that, but you're like, but that's not important. I don't need to do that. If it wasn't important, Jesus wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have told us to do it. It's incredibly important. And I'd love to sit with you and have a conversation about it. Carrie and I, we will be in the back. We are designating from this point on, for now, that back row against the wall. Everybody turn and look at that back row real fast. That back row against the wall, we're going to call that prayer row. And Carrie and I, after service, we're going to be over on that row. And if you need prayer, if you need to talk about a relationship with Jesus, if you have any questions or need anything, let us know. We'll be back there to pray with you. But before we close in prayer and worship, we have one more thing to do. So, Tom and Judy, come on down. You're the next contestants on This Is Your Church. So, Tom and Judy, give them a hand. Have been here for a while, and they want to place membership today. So, have a great time getting to know them. And if you don't know them yet, make sure that you do see them after service. Just want to ask, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And you both have been immersed for the forgiveness of sins?
Yes.
Yeah? And it's your desire to be with us?
Yes?
Well, it's our desire to have you. So let's go ahead and we're going to pray over them and then we're going to close in worship. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Tom and Judy and all they've meant to the church thus far. And I just pray that you would continue to work in their lives and their hearts and work in our lives and our hearts. And may they be a blessing to us and us be a blessing to them as you bring us all together, unified and united under your banner, under Jesus Christ. And may you get all the glory in all that we do. We give you all the praise and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Make sure you say hi to them and welcome to the family. Will you please stand as we close in worship?